According to most, entrepreneurship is a roller coaster. A roller coaster of trial and error, laughter and tears, confusion and triumph. In his new book, WTF? Willing to Fail, serial entrepreneur Brian Scudamore takes us on an adventure that helps convince us that we have exactly what it takes to succeed. Scudamore has always taken the road less traveled. At 19, he pioneered the industry of professional junk removal with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. He then scaled that success into three more home service brands, WOW One Day Painting, You Move Me, and Shack Shine. He joins us this morning to share his willing to fail philosophy, stemming from his belief in the power of dreaming big, taking risks, and learning from mistakes. It is a great pleasure to welcome Brian Scudamore to this morning's roundtable. Brian, thank you very much for being with us.
Yeah, nice to be here, Joe. Thank you.
So what got you thinking that you had a book in you to write about your 30-year-plus career of, as you say, failing upwards?
Yeah, well, I started a company, 1-800-GOT-JUNK, almost 30 years ago. And last year, I was talking to the fellow who's my co-author, and he kept saying, Brian, you got to write a book. You got so many stories in you to tell. And I felt like my ego didn't need a book like many entrepreneurs I know, but he just said, you know, you're not getting it. This isn't about you. This is about others that you can inspire. And as entrepreneurs, he said, you know, you've got that responsibility. So I said, okay, let's write it together. Let's put it out there. And there it is, WTF, willing to fail, lessons learned from a road less traveled, and have fun every single day. So if there's an opportunity to inspire, I feel great.
Was it about your late teens where you said, okay, I can take that road less traveled and I'm going to do this, as opposed to what's often prescribed young people of that age?
Yeah, I think there's a little of the nature versus nurture argument. Are entrepreneurs made or born? I think I was a little bit of a born to be an entrepreneur. My grandparents had an army surplus store in San Francisco, and I used to work there every summer and Christmas vacation. I was inspired to build my own business. And when I realized how ADD I was and what a bad student I was in high school, I ended up actually throwing in the towel and being one course short of graduation from high school. And so I don't know if I chose a road less traveled and one that others might not take as much as it might have chosen me. But in the end, I had to talk my way into college. All my friends were going. I didn't want to miss out. And so there I was. I had to find a way to pay for college after I talked my way in. I was in a McDonald's drive-thru of all places, saw a beat-up old pickup truck in front of me with plywood sides and junk filled in the back. And I looked at that truck and went, I got $1,000 in the bank. $700 went towards the truck, $300 towards flyers and business cards, and the business was born.
You write in the book, although I didn't graduate high school or university, I like to believe I graduated magna cum laude from the School of Consequences. How so?
Well, I think, you know, I've made a lot of mistakes, and I think I have taken not just the road less traveled, but a hard path of going against the grain. So my father is a liver transplant surgeon. He's done more schooling than just about anybody I've ever met. I remember 3 years into college. So while I talked my way into college, funded my own education, I had a year left in my diploma. And I sat down with my dad and I said, Dad, I got some good news for you. And he said, what is it? And I said, I'm dropping out of college. And he said, how is that good news? And I said, I'm learning so much more about business by running a business more than studying in books. And he did not agree with me. And that's where I think, you know, the consequences of my own actions, I had to face up to my father, I had to face up to others and say, you know what, I'm going to do this anyways. And it's paid off. It took about 15 years for my dad to be on side and say, hey, son, I'm proud of you. But sometimes I think entrepreneurs especially need to stand up for themselves and say, I believe in an idea, I believe in a vision for the future. While it might not be a popular idea with everybody, it's a choice you've got to make.
When it came to the idea for 1-800-GOT-JUNK, how did that come about and ultimately getting that off the ground to a point where you had a success on your hands?
Well, it was a way to pay for college, and then a year left in my degree, I dropped out. But then I said, okay, my father doesn't think it's a great idea. Maybe I had something to prove and a bit of a chip on my shoulder. So I grew from one truck to two to three by the end of the year I dropped out. I then felt like I had a real business, and I started to scale it. Every year I would add trucks until about 1994, I found my probably first and biggest WTF moment I would encounter was firing my entire company. I had 11 people, 9 bad apples, spoiled the whole bunch, so I got rid of the remaining two. I took 11 people and said, you know, guys, I've let you down. I'm sorry. I fired them in one sitting and said, I might not have given you the love and support you've needed to be successful. I might have brought on the wrong people. These weren't the fun, happy, professional people that I wanted to build a business with. And I started from scratch. So I really sat down and said, time to really grow this business and grow it right. And you say, so how did 1-800-GOT-JUNK start? I think it started that day when I was able to see that a company is really only as strong as the people you've got on board. So I rebuilt the business, brought in happy, smiley people. And in 1998, I rebranded the business from what was originally the Rubbish Boys to something that we could grow more internationally, where we're in Australia, Canada, and the United States today in every major metro as 1-800-GOT-JUNK.
And that moment, that WTF moment that you just talked about, that is a willing to fail moment. You realize that what could happen there by firing everybody.
Yeah, I faced those consequences. You talk about consequences. There were big ones for my actions there. Firing everyone meant I went from 5 trucks and $500,000 in revenue down to 1 truck. That's all I could drive at one time. I still had appointments to service. I had customers to rebook and cancel because they weren't happy with the time frame in which I could get there. I had to be my call center, my junk removal team, and I had to be the one rehiring every day while I was out there hauling junk by myself. And so it took me 3 to 6 months to rebuild the business, but willing to fail was ripping off that Band-Aid and saying, enough is enough. I'm not happy. I'm not building the business I'm proud of. I'm going to start again and find the right people, but I paid the price for several months until I was able to rebuild things.
So you certainly get the idea, and I mean, obviously this makes sense, but you certainly get the idea in reading the book that there is never an end game here. I mean, in the sense of you don't say, okay, I've reached this level. There's always something more. There's always something else that you can achieve.
Yeah, I say in the book that failure is temporary, but interestingly, so is success. And I think as an entrepreneur, or even as a leader. I mean, I wrote this book not just for entrepreneurs. I wrote it as a bit of a success manual of saying there's a much bigger difference between building a living and building a life. And for me, in building a life, you've got to, as an entrepreneur or a leader, understand that there will be good times and bad. I am at a point in the business where we're over $300 million in revenue. We've now got 4 companies under the O2E Brands umbrella, which is ordinary to exceptional. We're having a blast. We're doing great work, but hey, I don't want to fool myself. There will be times again when things will be tough. But as an entrepreneur, I think you've got to put your hands up almost like you're riding a roller coaster. Hands up on the way up and on the way down.
When you feel like you catch lightning in a bottle and it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, how do you think you then tell that message to other people to say, okay, well, you can do it too?
Yeah, I don't know if I think it's lightning in a bottle. I think it was really slow and steady wins the race. It took me 8 years to get to $1 million in revenue. Our first franchise partner did $1 million in revenue in their first year. And today we do $1 million in revenue on a given day. So these overnight success stories, as they say, sure take a long time. I don't think it was lightning in a bottle. I think it was really if I can do it, you can do it, because I've seen that slow and steady is what it takes. Fail, learn, fail, learn, fail, learn. And it's a model that's certainly worked for me and I'm sure will work for others.
And I guess when I say lightning in a bottle, I mean, it is improbable. You do go against many of the conventional ways to success.
Yeah, and I would agree with that. I think I'm definitely a quirky, different, unusual person that, you know, is having fun at every step of the way. And even when things go wrong in the business, people will often turn to me and go, Brian, how come you're okay? How come you're still smiling? And to me, it's an attitude. It's a mindset. So something I would love to leave people with who've read the book is that you can control your own mindset. If you capture a moment, let's call it again, your lightning in the bottle, if you capture something you know that's working, that makes you feel good, do more of that. But know that there's going to be times when the the lightning will flicker and might be a little dimmer, and that's okay. Stick with your passion and stay committed, and that passion will grow.
Trial, error, and yet I assume the trial is the fun part, right? Coming up with the ideas seems to me like it would be the fun part.
Yeah, we get to come up with new ideas each and every day. We came up with our second brand is called Wow One Day Painting. It's a painting business where we go in and paint people's homes in a day. Most people think it's impossible, but it's actually quite simple. You just put in the right number of people, one or two people in each room. Everyone knows you can get a room done in a day. Why not have the right numbers to get a home done in a day? So the trial, the learning by creating new things is certainly part of the excitement here.
Well, the name of the book is WTF, Willing to Fail, How Failure Can Be Your Key to Success. Brian Scudamore, very nice to have you on the program. I thank you very much for spending the time with us.
Joe, thank you. It was a lot of fun. Thanks for all the great questions.
Brian Scudamore is the author of the book Willing to Fail, WTF, How Failure Can Be Your Key to Success. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.